perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to this program of Young Catholics Respond. It's a pleasure to have you joining us no matter where you're listening from. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, you can head over to our website, patchworkheart.org, to check out more about our ministry. We always have so many other things going on than just our ministry podcast, this podcast. So check us out. We've got some great resources and things for you to check out and look at. Again, it's patchworkheart.org. Don't want to spend too much time talking about ourselves today, though, because I have a wonderful guest. His name is Brian Mercier, and he is a professional Catholic speaker, retreat leader, author, and founder of the and president of Catholic Truth. He has spoken to countless teens and adults over the last 20 years through confirmation retreats, parish missions, keynotes, Catholic school retreats, seminars, workshops, colleges and universities, conferences, and through TV and radio. He has been aired on national TV and radio in different states, including Ave Maria Radio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Relevant Radio, and EWTN. Brian is also a proud member of the Catholic Speakers Organization and has a brand new book out called Why Do You Believe in God? Brian, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thank you, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so on today's program, I want to just talk with you a little bit about your faith journey. I know that you have a fascinating one. So let's talk first a little bit about your journey to the Catholic faith.
Well, I actually have always been Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic family of six kids. My mom taught me to pray since I was a small child and since I could talk. And I prayed every single day of my life and up until middle school, high school, throughout. In fact, I prayed a rosary every day through high school. I'm not really sure why, except that my mom told me to. And I really feel like that rosary, which is such a powerful prayer, would get me through the dark times that were coming. Because it was, even though I went to Mass every Sunday and even though I prayed every day, I took a dark turn in high school and I started to become really sad. I started to become really depressed. I was bullied a lot at school. I was made fun of a lot, hazed a lot. And my parents didn't have the best marriage at the time. And so that affected me a lot too. Some of it was very abusive when I was a kid. And so it caused a lot of anger in me and a lot of sadness. And then when you already take a kid who's sad and you start making fun of him and bullying him at school, he's going to become depressed. And if you already have a kid who's depressed, he's going to become angry and start to become bitter and resentful. And if you already have one of those kids, then you're going to put them over the edge at some point into what we know probably today is what happened at Columbine, you know, or in something else like that, where these kids just did something rash because they didn't know what to do with all of their anger and problems. And I started to go down that dark path myself. I started to dress in black every day, and I started to carry weapons, and I started to really just hate the world around me for 7 years. I just became super depressed. And even though I had my friends and my family, and a lot of times I acted happy on the outside, I acted free on the outside, I acted like I had it all together on the outside, inside I was dying day by day. And it started taking a dark turn in my mind, and I started writing poetry to get out my thoughts. And my poems, I had two types of poems: poems that were just depressing and how I'm never going to find love and nobody likes me and I'm a loser. And then other poems were like, I hate everyone around me, I want to hurt them, I want to do rash things. Things that I would probably be arrested for today. But my friends were actually getting concerned about me too, because they would read my poems and they would say, one of my friends wanted to send me to a counselor. That's how bad it got. And in fact, my other friends stopped sometimes hanging out with me because I was so depressed. I was just someone who didn't know what to do with all the feelings and problems and sufferings and confusion and anger. So I just kept stuffing it down and down and down every single day for 7 years. And I didn't even look in the mirror for 7 years because I hated what I saw. I literally thought I was the ugliest person on planet Earth. And this is the way I lived for high school and probably the first 2 years of college, leading up into my conversion at Franciscan University and college. But for a long time, I just, my friends and I would walk around dressed in black, carrying weapons, looking for fights, writing poetry about how we wanted to hurt people. And this, I don't know, I prayed every day. I still said my rosary every day. And I was living 1 foot in the God box, 1 foot in the worldly box. And I don't know why. I just kept praying to God to heal me, to help me find a girlfriend, to do something in my life to make me happy. And he never did. And so I figured, okay, well, either God's not real or he is real, but maybe he's like, he doesn't like me. Nobody else seems to like me in high school. So I don't know. Maybe it's that. Or the third option is maybe he's an old guy with a big beard billions of light years away and my prayers are being sent up to him and it's taking forever to get there and maybe they got to be sent back down again. But whatever it was, I struggled in my belief with God, but I never gave up my faith. And I think that's key because many people, when they don't get their prayers answered right away the way they want it at the right time, in other words, their own time frame, they give up on God. They stop praying. They walk away from the church. And that's not what we need to do. I kept praying. I kept struggling in my relationship with God. And in the long run, once I got to college, it would pay off and God would pour it out on me 100 times over.
Yeah, how beautiful is that story that you never gave up hope. I think one of the biggest things, because I think there's so many young people out there today who might be listening to this podcast or giving it to, you know, on the radio or whatever. And, you know, here they are struggling with some of these really difficult things. But I find it fascinating that you never stopped praying and never gave up the rosary. I mean, how incredible is that? And, you know, do you have a strong devotion to the Blessed Mother because of, you know, that and what she did for you in maybe protecting you from going completely off the rails and hurting somebody?
I definitely have always had a strong devotion to the rosary, and I've done the consecration to Mary several times. But I also thank my own mom too, who prayed for me thousands and thousands of tear-filled prayers. She sacrificed for me. She suffered for me. For years she had to put up with me, but she kept praying. She kept praying. She kept trying to evangelize me, not always the right way, which pushed me away sometimes, but you know, the best way she knew how. She would pray for me and sacrifice for me and cry for me. And I really believe that the two prayers of both of my mothers, my mom and Mary, really helped to keep me on the straight and narrow path and not do something rash. I mean, recently, a couple of years ago, I was still teaching a little bit. I was a substitute teacher on the side. And I did that for years so I could stay up relevant with the youth, see what they were into, have conversations with them. And I had to take them to an assembly once, and it was about the 10 warning signs that you want to look out for if somebody's going to like shoot up a school or bring a bomb or do something really rash. And going through all those signs, I realized that I fit 9 out of 10 of them when I was in high school. Now, that was a scary reality for me. And I think the only reason I didn't do anything rash was because my parents brought me up with morality. I still had consequences. I knew I would go to jail and I knew I would go to hell and my dad would kill me. And none of that seemed good. So it actually kept me on that straight and narrow. Plus, with all the prayers that my parents were giving me.
Yeah, that's just incredible. And I think something that is so needed to, your witness is so needed in this world today because of all these, you know, tragedies happening and clearly, you know, God just rescuing you right from that. And I want to understand how he did that. So tell us about the conversion in at Franciscan at college.
Well, running out of ideas, my mom really had no idea what to do with me. I was her out of control child, I guess. Although there's many kids who are much, much worse than me. I wasn't that bad, but she didn't know what to do with me. So she decided to send me out to a Catholic college to get some more Jesus in me. And we had gone to a talk by Peter Kreft, and he had recommended Franciscan University along with two other schools. So I went to check it out. I didn't hate it. I said I would give it a try for a semester, and then if I hated it, I would leave. But in reality, the first moments I got there, I ended up loving it, because even though I really did not want to go there to a Catholic college, I loved it because everybody was so nice. It was the polar opposite of high school. As soon as I got there, people would hug me. They would kiss me. They would just take my luggage. They were just welcoming me. They were just nicer than I've ever seen on this planet. I'm from Massachusetts, which was voted one of the snobbiest states in the 50 states of America. And I didn't need a poll to tell me that. I grew up there. But when I went out to the Midwest in Ohio, it was so nice, kind, loving. And it created this environment where I could start to be myself. Even though I swore like a truck driver, nobody judged me. Nobody asked for my past. Nobody asked, you know, what I did wrong. Nobody cared. They just loved me and accepted me. And that was a breath of fresh air. So it allowed me to continue to pray more, to go deeper with God more. We said rosaries together as a campus and, you know, with my friends. People went to church every day. I mean, it was peer pressure in reverse. If you didn't go to church every day, what are you doing with your life? So I started going to church every day. I started going to confession more often. And I really started to give myself more to God. And the more I did that, the more light, the more peace, the more God had a hold of my life, and the less the darkness had a hold on my life. And this led to some severely powerful healings and transformations in my life. I had what I would call a St. Paul conversion, where he was knocked off his horse and blinded by the light. And I had something very powerful like that as well. And it was happened when we were at school, and I was in the fifth pew from the front. We were at Mass, and the song Glory to God in the Highest came on. And just so your listeners know, Steubenville is a school that is, I'd say, half, at least when I was there, it was about half traditional, maybe 40% traditional, and about 50 to 60% charismatic. And I had never even heard of charismatic before I got there. And when I got there, I thought it was the silliest thing in the world. I mean, people speaking in these weird languages and putting their hands up in the air as if they're at some sort of a concert or something. And I would stare at them and try to make them feel uncomfortable. And I would judge them and tell them how fake and phony they were, because apparently I had a God-given gift of reading people's hearts or something, right? But God had a good sense of humor, and he was going to change my mind to that really quickly. So fast forward to this Mass, and I'm in the fifth pew from the front, and the song Glory to God in the Highest comes on. And I really felt God come into my life, I won't say for the first time, but in a powerful way, I felt it. And I felt like he wanted me to put my arms up in the air. And being the good Catholic I was at the time, I told him no. I said, no way, God, I'm not going to act like all of these other holy rollers.
Wow.
And after that, he didn't make me. I just want to make this clear. He didn't make me, but he kept insisting, just give me a chance, Brian. Just give me a chance. Take a chance. You know, I'll change your life. Take a chance. And I finally said, fine, God, if it's going to make you happy, I'll put my hands up in the air. So I put them up just a little bit, like a tad, not over my head like all the other people, just a tad. But that, just opening myself up that much allowed him to work in my life. And what happened next, I can't even explain. It felt like the best way I can explain it is like an 18-wheeler truck going about 55 miles an hour and slamming into you. Like this force just hit me so hard, and it paralyzed me from head to toe. And I just, I was freaking out, and it just kept getting stronger and stronger until I remember myself crying out in my head, "Okay, God, I get it. You're real. I get it. You're real. I believe in you. I believe in you for real. You're the real thing." And I was freaking out, and I don't remember what happened for the next 5 or 10 minutes, but I remember blacking out, just standing there. Most people, if they blacked out, they would fall over, but for some reason I didn't. And God gave me, I'm not going to say I saw heaven because I didn't, but he gave me a vision at that point of what I think heaven is like. And I saw a picture in my mind about there was this huge throne room, and in the huge chair, there was a huge Jesus, go figure. And there were millions of people around the throne. Half of them were prostrate on their faces before God. Half of them had their hands up in the air, just praising him with all of their might. And then there was a line going down, we'll say South Heaven, as far back as you can go. And in that line, people were waiting in line to go see Jesus. And there was this man in Jesus's hands that I saw, and he was shone like the sun. He was so happy, and Jesus was hugging him, and he was kissing him. This guy was so little compared to Jesus, but he was so happy. And I realized when I looked in deeper into the vision that I was next in line to go get that happiness. And on my way up to see Jesus, the whole thing just kind of ended. And when I came out of it, they were at a whole different part of the mass. I still had my hands in the air. I was still standing in church. Like, it was just an awkward experience. But God told me, I really felt like he spoke powerfully to my heart and said, "Brian, you've been way too angry, too sad, too confused, too depressed. You're too young to be all that. And I made you for so much more. Trust me and follow me, and I will make you new." And so how can you refuse that? So over the next year, God transformed my life with a couple of more powerful, powerful experiences that healed the depths of my brokenness, healed the depths of my daddy wounds and other things that I had, and literally transformed me from someone who hated and dressed in black and wanted to hurt people to someone who just has been so overfilled with love to overflowing that all I want to do is love the world, love my enemies, love everybody, and bring that love of Jesus Christ to a dark and fallen world, a broken world. And that's what God did for me. Complete transformation inside out. Took out all my hate, replaced it with love. Took out all the pain, healed it. Took out all the brokenness, healed it. Gave me peace, gave me joy to overflowing. Nothing I've experienced in my life.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing story. Today, my guest is Brian Mercier. And we are talking with him about his amazing journey of faith on today's program. We have to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with him, and he's going to lead us into what he's doing now and how you can be a part of encountering the love that Brian has for the world. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
The St. Raymond Nonatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith offers prayerful accompaniment for those who are affected by divorce and separation. We offer free online support meetings for those affected by divorce and for adult children of divorce. You can learn more about us at nonatus.org. That's nonatus.org. Text or call 215-870-9913.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
At times it seems like the world today is filled with so much division, bigotry, and hatred. So it's up to us to make sure that we get back to the basics, and that is Jesus Christ and his message of faith, hope, and love. Faith, Hope, Love with John and Morgan Bender is a new project that seeks to do just that by engaging and inspiring Catholics within the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and beyond. Read personal faith stories, interviews, and news all by visiting the Faith, Hope, and Love blog.blogspot.com or follow us on Twitter at Johnny Bender MKE.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Brian Mercier, and we are talking with him about his amazing faith journey and his mission of being an evangelist and being a Catholic speaker and everything. So, Brian, I want you to kind of finish off the story because I know there's a little bit of an end to it. But then let's also talk about what you're doing currently. So go ahead and just finish us off with the rest of the story.
Sure. The rest of the story is simple. I walked into a field and I looked up at the 150-foot steel cross that's at this college. And with tears in my eyes, I just told God, God, I want to help people the way you helped me. I want to heal people the way you've healed me. And I want to help to transform the lives of other people the way you transformed my life. And I really believe that God has helped me to do that. Because after my narcissistic life, I looked into the world and I saw that there's a whole world of hurting people, broken people, angry people, people who have lost their faith because they don't think God is answering their prayers. And I say, God, send me, like in the Bible, send me. Lord, I just want to speak to as many people and help as many people as humanly possible and help them to know how awesome and wonderful you are and how beautiful the Catholic faith is and how it can transform their lives. So he has allowed me to do that, and I think that's where I received my call for ministry. And I'll just say real briefly that if there's anybody out there struggling with faith, you don't think that God's listening to you, you don't think he's answering your prayers, that's a lie from the devil. I can tell you that because God is there. Even right now, I've been praying to God for certain things, and I've had deaf silence on the other side of the line, for so to speak. I know I've been struggling and God's put me through a trial time where I don't feel him right now. And he doesn't seem to be answering my prayers right now. But you know what? I also know from experience that he will when he's ready. And it is always worth the wait. The best thing you could pray right now is, God, help me to learn the lessons that you're trying to teach me in these dark times. And God, help me to see the things that I can't see and to keep my faith in you. God always comes through, even if it's not in our timeline. Do not give up your faith. He's madly in love with you. With that being said, Bill, this is why I started my ministry. I started an organization called Catholic Truth because I want to talk about the truth of God, the truth of his love, the truth of his mercy, the truth of how powerful and how much he can change our lives if we follow him. See, that's the key. A lot of people follow God on their own terms. They only give about as much as I gave in high school, which is nothing. I mean, most teens that I work with say they don't even pray, or if they do pray, it's a couple minutes before bed. Can you imagine talking to your spouse for 2 minutes a day? What kind of a relationship would you have? Would it really transform your marriage? No. If we really want to know God at a deeper level, we need to actually put in the work. We got to have a really deep prayer life, an intimate prayer life. We have to really try to seek God and his will. And when we do, and when we really seek him with all of our heart and strive after him and not just give him, what's left over, that's when we'll start to see things change for the better. So I really want to help people at Catholic Truth to find God on a deep level. I want to find them to help satisfaction in their own life, in their prayer life. That's why I'm writing like 4 or 5 different books right now, and one of them is How to Pray. Nobody teaches us how to pray. Nobody teaches us how to connect with God, how to know Him on a deep and personal level, how to make prayer work in your life, how to listen to God, how do you overcome distractions and get over these tough obstacles. These are the things we deal with at Catholic Truth. And we, for this reason, we also have a YouTube, which is also Catholic Truth. And we talk about a whole plethora of different topics. I have a prayer series on there. I have one on spiritual warfare, what to do and how to keep praying during your times of dryness. When God doesn't seem to be listening to you, how do you get through to that to the other side? 5 reasons why God doesn't answer prayers and how He can, and different things like that. So we have a plethora of different videos and a wealth of information. But in addition to that, I also looked around and realized that Catholics, they don't know their faith that well, and they don't live their faith that well. Most Catholics would be called cafeteria Catholics. In other words, they go to church on Sundays, but that's about it. You know, and I want to help them to get the most out of it and to be happy and to find life through it. I went to Steubenville, and at Steubenville, I was attacked by Jehovah's Witnesses and Protestants who were telling me that the Catholic Church is wrong, and they were telling me that the Catholic Church is evil, and they were giving me all of these arguments, and I couldn't defend my own Catholic faith. Like most Catholics, I couldn't explain it to save my soul. And so I had to learn that over 6 months, a year, 15 years, 20 years, 25. I mean, I studied the Catholic faith for years. And now I try to break it down in a way so Catholics can learn their faith, that it can be exciting, that it won't be boring, and it will make sense. It's like a puzzle. I see the Catholic faith like a puzzle. You dump out the box and there's pieces everywhere and it doesn't make much sense. But the more you get your questions answered and the more you start connecting the pieces, the more you start to see a picture form. And once you start to see a picture form, then it starts to make sense. And once you see the whole picture, you have this light bulb moment in your faith where you're like, oh my gosh, it makes sense. It makes sense. And that's when you really want to live out your faith, and it becomes interesting. It becomes exciting. It becomes tantalizing in a sense. Like you just can't get enough of it and you want more and more and more. And that's where I'm at. And that's what I'm trying to do at Catholic Truth. I want to help Catholics to know their faith, to love their faith, and to live their faith with purpose and passion every single day, not just to go through the motions. I want it to transform their lives.
Oh my gosh. So incredible and so beautiful. What an amazing mission that you have, and it's such a blessing to be able to talk with you and have your passion and your wisdom and knowledge and your story aid so many people right now. I know that there are so many people that the Holy Spirit has made divine appointments with listening to this right now, and that our hearts are being overflowed and filled. And you know, we only have so much time on the radio. I wish we could talk with you, more right now. But I want to make sure that I promote your website and get that out there, and then make sure that you tell everybody else how to get in contact with you. But Catholic Brian, BRYAN.org is your website, and it's very accessible, very easy. It's got a whole bunch of things on there. But go ahead and just make sure you let them know how else to get in contact with you as well.
Sure. We'll be having our Catholic Truth website up in about a week, and it will be thecatholictruth.org. But people can just look up Catholic Brian. That's my hashtag. It'll take you to all my social media. It'll take you to my YouTube. It'll take you to my website, my LinkedIn, and anywhere else you would like to find me. We offer retreats of all kinds, confirmation retreats, Catholic school retreats, parish missions, anything you want to inspire your parish, your teens, your youth, or anything else. You can go to catholicbrian.org.
Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for being here with me today. I just am filled with passion and joy for just getting a chance to talk with you and be able to share our Catholic faith in such a joy-filled way. So thank you so much for sharing your journey and being here today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thank you, Bill, so much for having me.
All right. Well, This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.